Welcome to The Ether. Today is Friday, August 12th, 2022. Today on The Ether, dynamic NFT applications using data types on the Constellation Network. Hosted by Enter the Void. Let's take a listen.
All right, give it a couple more minutes here. You want to know what I did last time that I totally forgot to do? Was hit record on the last one, and I know... Oh, this is recording. Thankfully. I love that you can like hit the pre-record button. Last time I think we had like a full hour long conversation and I was like, great, that's awesome. And then I was like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But the good thing is if in the event that that happens, you know, it sucks, but you can download your recorded data. Mm-hmm. I would just wish it was a little bit easier to do because it just, it downloads like everything. Mm-hmm. You have to find that. But yeah, it's kind of a pain, but it's possible.
Wyatt is currently stuck in a meeting for right now, but that's okay because we can kick the party off. We have Tim Shefor here, our CTO, resident CTO at The Void Inc. Happy to have him up here. First time in the spaces, but I just want to say Tim is the GOAT. He is an absolute legend, and we are super excited to share more about something that we're building here at The Void, which we have not spoken about before. This will be the first time that you guys are all hearing this, so we are super excited to announce this. And so with that being said, Tim, maybe we can do an introduction here since this is the first time we have you here in Twitter Spaces. How are you doing today?
Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, good. Hi, I'm Tim. I'm British, and I prefer Vim as my editor. So that was code to all the geeks. But I've been involved in startups for about 30 years, primarily in fintech, on the investment banking side, systematic trading, high-frequency trading, ultra-low latency networking, been interested in products that are underutilized and product situations that can be, you know, expanded upon with my background. So when I came across NFTs in general and Constellation specifically, and Andy and Eric incredibly specifically, I was incredibly delighted to be involved in this process. So very excited for what we're doing.
Super excited. And I think, you know, what we're really doing here, and I'll just paint the big picture here for as we get into the conversation that we're having is, you know, the current NFT market, what's interesting is that a lot of people have a lot to say about the NFT market. You know, some people love it. They see that the underlying technology of it all can be adopted to, you know, do a lot of really unique and cool things, but also the existing NFT market, you know, people don't really care for. Some people do, and it's fine either way. But what we're creating and building for inside The Void is what we believe is the next wave of innovation in the NFT space, utilizing what we're going to show you today, which will create an entire new market of NFT-based applications that can easily plug into Web 2 or exist in Web 3 for, you know, different decentralized purposes. But really, this is something that we don't really see in the existing market today. And what we're doing is we're making this very, very, very easy to adopt. And utilizing data types, we have tons of flexibility in creating entirely new NFT use cases that not only are easily adoptable, but work really well at scale too, which is something that you don't really see on other protocols where things like network constraints really limit NFT use cases at scale in some cases. So we are super excited for what we're introducing to you today. And Tim, maybe this is where we can queue up NFGP and talk about what we've built.
Okay, that sounds great. NFG is non-fungible gadgets. So an NFGP is the protocol that we're creating to enable interaction with these gadgets. First of all, really wanted to talk about how we view NFTs at the Void, and how we arrived from right at the beginning of you know, these discussions that I've had with Eric and Andy and others to the point today. During the very first interview, I expressed to Andy and Eric that I don't believe that art and collectible based NFTs really flex the possibilities of the NFT based technology and the underlying ledgers. But NFTs can contain data like any other token, but they also contain at least a definition of logic. So they are slightly different from, you know, just holding a particular image, for example, or a link to an image. They can be interacted with. They can contain very complex logic. And so what we wanted to do was to explore the different use cases where NFTs may be applicable outside of arts and collections. So I think that, you know, our Slack is full of bizarre and odd use cases where, you know, we can apply these NFTs. And from that, you know, large set of use cases, we've distilled down to a set of common pieces of functionality that most, if not all, NFTs are going to require. But we're also very aware that the power of the logic associated with the NFTs is that it's community created. You know, I can't in all, you know, good faith dictate how you are going to create your NFT or your application based on those NFTs. I can't constrain you that way. I have to allow you and give you the tools to create whatever you want to create. So that was a very important part for us as well. We also very concerned about the difference between, for example, with state channels in Constellation. They all need the ability to operate on NFTs, or most of them do, but they also should have the ability to collaborate on NFTs and have a multi-state channel NFT and transact NFTs between state channels. Now, that line of thinking means that the integration points with this NFT technology is very flexible, and traditional Web2 infrastructures can bind into the infrastructure and utilize some of the tools and standards that we're coming up with. And in bidirectional, you know, they can create NFTs in our ecosystem and, you know, use services within other state channels. Okay. So with those differences, when we come up, as I said, with a bunch of data types, what I'd like to do is introduce the, do you have any slides, Eric, that you've distributed? So at this point.
Oh yeah, I'm loading the Twitter thread as we speak. I'm going to pin this right now.
Yeah.
Boom. So there's that. So everyone can see in the space now, there's two slides which are up there, and one shows the architecture layout of NFGP as a layer 2 logic scaling solution. And then two, you'll see in the second slide different in the first slide that's showing up, you'll see different examples of data types which can be used to create seemingly unending NFT use cases. And I think what's really powerful about this is we, you know, look at our own platform as opposed to maybe some other state channels, is as an open NFT platform, we have to be able to serve the needs of a very large community. We have to, utilizing our state channel as truly like an NFT infrastructure services platform. We can't preload, the logic inside our state channel to handle any data type because we're just not that creative. We can't come up with every seeming use case example that could possibly fit into our state channel for whatever use case purpose that someone needs for their business or, whatever business application that they have. So what we've created in this sense is the ability to extend our state channel functionality to the developer community to be able to create new new NFT use cases with the advent of complex data types. And instead of having to integrate these data types and the logic inside our layer one and our state channel, which would take us a lot of time, because as I said before, we can't integrate every single need of every individual at the layer one level. We would just be too slow. We've separated that and put the logic in layer two and made it stack and language agnostic, which now we open the door to the greater developer community to add to what we're creating is an open source data type library. And this is really how we're going to flourish as a new NFT ecosystem that will not only, create these new NFT applications, but really keeps the door open for the developer community to build these new applications and commit their work to the data type library.
Yeah, I think that's very important that it's open and community driven. It's not me being lazy, that other people are producing these data types and these use cases, that we just don't have enough creativity. I'm not an artist, I'm an engineer.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I really love about this too is that, instead of having to, in this case, us update the state channel to have all this logic to be handled by any use case, we make it open. We make it open, and that's where NFTP as a layer two logic scaling solution really provides the means for that. So as we begin to think about what the future of the void is, we're creating this open NFT platform and this open source data type library in order to attract the developer community, bring in new artists, new creators, new businesses. But it doesn't just stop in Web3. This really is perfect for businesses as a Web2 plugin. So these people like that have specific requirements. For example, let's say Amazon wanted to launch an NFT and they had specific requirements that they needed or resources that they had in order to launch that NFT. They could literally just use our layer two solution to plug into, which would be then validated by our layer one. And next thing you know, they've launched their NFT collection. So we're super excited. And as you can see in the slide at the top, we have just a few examples of very, very basic data types that can proliferate into a seemingly unending amount of different use cases. For example, entangled. So these are inter-aware NFTs that can change in utility or access based on a trigger or existence of another NFT. To give you an example of something like that, that could be a membership. Like, let's say you wanted to launch an NFT membership, and now you wanted to cancel someone's NFT membership. You could send a master NFT to that wallet, and the presence of those NFTs together could change the utility or access of that other NFT, with, in this case, would be like a command or a master NFT. So this is one specific use case using this data type that could really be used for, it's up to the community, it's up to the businesses and creators to decide in what ways you want to use these data types to create, these NFT applications. And where, a traditional NFT is really, really just a media file. And most NFTs today are really just used as like community access passes or redeemable access passes of some kind. Having the logic in the NFT itself really does birth an entire new world of NFT, of truly NFT applications. And so we don't even really know what the full extent of how this plays out in the real world yet, because we're creating the market for it here. And so that's why it's really important for us as it relates to being an open platform and having people adopt and utilize the Void and the NFT standard here on Constellation, that we have this layer two logic scaling solution that makes it stack and language agnostic so that we can reach those developers throughout multiple different ecosystems. So that is the first part of some of the big major changes we're doing today. Tim, anything else we'd like to add here as it relates to things like maybe auditability or so on and so forth?
I think I wanted to just to describe the deliverables and where responsibilities lie. The underlying definition is purely a format and validity spec. It's defined as JSON document. The next level, the standard library, it is defined in terms of data events that they respond to, and the expected outputs and actions that happen on the NFT data. So the standard library and the definition are certainly the core of the open community driven of audit and development. Above that, implementations of the stack, such as the Void, they have additional data types which are custom to their application, which is the same as everybody who's going to use it. They're also going to have different governance on how that channel or application operates. Again, that's not part of the standard. The implementation, the stacks, the technical stack, we've already gone over, but as long as you can receive and process messages, you know, there's no requirement to have a particular mechanism there. The last thing I wanted to mention on that is that this architecture and the way that it works on NFTs processing is also applicable for internal business process modeling. At the Void, we plan to write some of our features directly into the layer 2 NFT logic layer. So beyond the initial release, then we will start more advanced features that we may talk about today will be directly controlled and operated at the NFT layer, which is very exciting for me.
Very, very, very exciting. So we're super, super pumped to announce this one aspect of the Void. We have a whole kickoff here of 7 rolling days of updates and announcements. This is part one, queuing up the rest of the next 6 days here. But in the meantime, we have Mr. the captain of the ship, our shepherd. We have Sir Wyatt Melvin Flock in the house. Wyatt, how are you doing today?
Hey everybody, how's it going? Sorry, I'm a little bit late, but had some technical difficulties. That was a great rundown. I had just heard this as well. Just in general, is that my segue to talk about
what?
Just talk? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think you're having some slight connection issues there. We're chopping in and out. So not sure if it was just me or if it was brought up there, but just wanted to see how you're doing, Chop. And I know we all spoke about this the other day, and just thinking about the additional ways in which this can be adopted and utilized across NFT, across state channels as a way to make it easier for businesses to onboard into the ecosystem as well. I think why it's rugging.
Yeah, I think Vitalik probably paid Twitter to rug him.
Oh, 100%, dude. They've been after him from the jump. But yeah, we're super excited to share this today. And I think the most important part that is the takeaway here is that the scalability and the ability to create new NFT applications on Constellation using this layer 2 logic scaling solution in a way that's language agnostic. If you just think about what that does and what door that opens, we can see an entire new development, an entire new ecosystem of developers that are contributing to this data type library, because now they can create these new NFT applications that simply just weren't possible on other NFT standards and other ecosystems. So really, when you think about the scope of that and how the community ties into that, really what we're talking about is a flourishing NFT ecosystem on Constellation. And we're super happy to be providing the solution to people that, like I said, we can't absorb all of that logic in Scala on the layer one. It just wouldn't be possible to serve the needs of an entire ecosystem, which is why we're happy to provide the door that we are now with the non-fungible gadget protocol as a layer two logic scaling solution that can be adopted by state channels in order to make it easier for these not just NFT applications, but as Tim pointed out before, as a Web2 business integration as well, which, as you guys know, is a very big piece and focus of what we're able to do. And we're happy to have this door open. So if anyone maybe wants to we can open it up to questions. If people have questions around maybe data types or how this may work or what the future holds for NFTs on Constellation, as the people building the standard, we're happy to jump in and answer any questions you may have. So if anyone has any questions, we're happy to take those now. And if not, we can kind of wrap it all up.
Yeah, I'm just super pumped because, you know, HGTP from the beginning, you know, I was convinced that something like this would come along. And it's funny that it actually is being delivered by somebody that was in the community. But, you know, you could look through my history. Like, I was trying to get anyone from Mark Cuban to, you know, Paris Hilton because, yeah, I knew NFTs were so much bigger than just JPEGs. And the future is going to be a day where, you know, I could have an NFT pass and use it like a rideshare, like unlock this car and take it to a specific destination. And then there it's over. Like the trip has ended. But that layer of functionality just doesn't exist with the current infrastructure, and it won't. Even after the merge won't allow for this validation of complex data types. It won't. And that's what's great about this layering solution that you guys have put out, right? Because it's data agnostic. So that just means anybody can plug in any data from any source, right? Developers that are using JavaScript or whatever, you're not tied to the constraints of the ecosystem, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, especially if you're thinking about Web2 businesses, they've spent billions of dollars on their infrastructure already. And it works for them, so why would they want to reinvest and use a completely different architecture when we can just integrate with what they have? So it's cheaper for them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the cost savings of this type of solution is, I mean, it's I don't even really think it's quantifiable, right? Because then with what you guys are doing, you know, you can add it to a library. Right. So existing, Web2 solutions have plenty of ideas of where they see that their future going, right, that you couldn't even possibly think of. I couldn't even possibly think of. Right. And that's what's genius about this living library that's going to be happening on the void.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we really can't. It's so funny because we have a growing list of data types already that we were going to have as far as like different use, you know, functionality that people can have in creating NFTs inside the void. But really, like, as we came down to it, it was like, this is seemingly unending, and we're not that creative to think of everything. Right. And so for us, it was like, okay, well, this is a no brainer. If we want to open this up to the community and make this scalable for us, like, how would we do that? And that's where like separating the data from the logic and just putting that logic in layer two to then be validated by our layer one and making it language agnostic to whatever, you know, developer skill set they have. That's where we're like, okay, this is going to allow for a proliferation of an entire new NFT ecosystem here. That's simple and easy and meets their needs.
Right. And then, you know, the other thing that's, you know, interesting, and this again will give people, you know, like the super creative types, right? You know, this ability to have these like dynamic NFTs. And in that little slide example that you know, you have nesting, entanglement, self-destruction, right? And so some of the use cases, like the one that I gave of the rideshare example, or you could have, you know, your home, like closing escrow on an NFT, right? Because anybody that's bought a home knows that there's so many different data from different people, right? You've got, you know, the bank, then you've got the people that inspect, you know, all these different things that go into closing a home, right? But you could have that all on an NFT and just have that transferable.
And,
right?
Even outside of like standard stuff like that, having stuff on an NFT is one thing, but creating like a business model around a programmable NFT is like the next nexus or the next innovation of that. And that's really what this is. It's like, if you take one of these data types, like for example, self-destruct, like how many different types of, you know, applications or use cases could you think of that would maybe want to use, you know, a self-destruct NFT? We just have that one example there. It's like, if you wanted to run a decentralized lottery, and let's say there were 100 NFTs, and upon, you know, a specific date, 99 out of the 100 self-destruct, and the person left with the NFT realizes they won the lottery. Like, that's just one use case example around like that programmable logic inside of that NFT collection for that specific business use case. Like, extend that out to, you know, maybe 100 different data types, and then therefore, you know, 10,000 different types of use cases. Like, it's seemingly unending, which is why it's so important for us that we have this solution, because we need to make it open to the developer community. And it's how we're going to build a flourishing ecosystem of NFTs in Constellation by attracting people to create new NFT use cases by leaving it open with NFGP. So we're super, super, super pumped about this. Tim, you had something to share.
I wanted to actually talk about the actual construction of an NFT mint, and that may give you some insight as to how you use the data library. In this ecosystem, the initial point for an NFT mint is something called a recipe. Now, a recipe is an NFT by in itself, which is an important thing to note for later. But the recipe describes the ingredients that go into creating this NFT. Those ingredients are a selection from the library of data types, either standard or channel specific, or your custom data types all mixed in together. And you're defining the events that trigger them and the events that are emitted from those data types. That recipe, it can have limited use or restricted use. So, and it is tradable. So you can create a recipe and sell the recipe. And when you activate the mint on the recipe, it creates the NFT as per the instructions. Now, if you have, like, as I said, 100 use NFT recipe, you can create 100 of them. There's data types to add randomization. There are data types to, you know, pull data from oracles. There are data types that are caused by triggers that I don't think we should talk about today. You know, there's any small piece of useful functionality can be described as a data type is something that, you know, will be available to you. I posted a question in to Eric, so hopefully he'll answer it.
No, that's huge, and I didn't know how much of all of that stuff we were going to talk about today. But the fact that a developer can get, you know, royalties for their data type, you know, is massive. And then the other thing that's going to be massive too is just how easy it is to be able to create one of these NFTs.
Yeah. So I guess you know, while we're here, and, you know, I was thinking, so we have all these like things that we plan on sharing for the next couple of days. But I think what we can talk about the developer community, and Tim, maybe we want to talk about the process of what it looks like to add to this library and how this differs from the way things are audited on Ethereum.
Again, coming back to my distinction between what is part of the protocol and what is implementation specific. What we're talking about now is implementation specific. They're not part of the protocol per se. For the Void, one of the concerns that I've had and I've noticed, and I'm sure you know you are all aware of the scams that are involved in NFTs and the exploits based on logic bugs and unfortunately malicious directly, you know, created malicious code. For the Void, we want to be able to have verified data types and logic, and we believe that the person or the group of people who have most vested interest to ensure that is audited are the consumers, the community. The creators would want to have audited data types, so they are used. And so not just part of the open standard for contribution to the library. In the case of the Void Marketplace, the community will decide if a data type is available in the Void. So if it's not audited and it's just been published, then likely it won't be available. So if the creator wants to use a mechanism of governance to create an audited data type, which means rewarding the auditors, then you know, then it becomes available.
Absolutely. And where this massively contrasts with something like Ethereum, right, is like you have thousands and thousands and thousands of smart contracts and you can't audit them all. And platforms aren't ensuring that like only audited smart contracts are added to platforms. And so what's interesting is that a lot of these, you know, quote unquote hacks, and we'll call them hacks, but they're mostly phishing attacks, are from people that are interacting with a contract, and they go to accept, you know, interacting with the contract. They don't read the they don't like go into the contract and read what they're interacting with and go through it line by line. You know, they just typically hit accept and pray that they don't get rugged or their funds stolen from them. And where this will massively, you know, be massively different on our end, to Tim's point, is when, and I can describe the process of what this will look like, is when new data types are added to the library, the open source library that can be leveraged to create these new NFT applications, they will have to go through a community-led auditing process. And those developers have an incentive to add royalties, and then there will be people that can get paid for doing the auditing as well. And another way in which this contrasts with Ethereum is anytime someone creates a new NFT application or project or NFT, anything utilizing our services, that developer that committed those data types to the library can now receive a royalty payment upon checkout for the development work that they've done moving forward. So anytime some developer's data types are used for the creation of a new NFT, they can earn a royalty for that. So on Ethereum, you know, that doesn't happen. You know, other people's development work doesn't earn them a royalty. You know, artists and sellers and creators earn royalties on the secondary sale of their NFTs, but the developers, they don't really gain the royalties for their hard work. So we're incentivizing developers to contribute new data types, which will again allow for a proliferation of this library, and also paying the community to do these audits as well to make sure that the library is safe, and so that the NFTs in the ecosystem are safe as well. So it's a really full picture there, if you will.
Yeah, and that's massive. I mean, that's gonna bring lots of creative people, because wouldn't you want to be rewarded every time your idea was used in one shape or form, right? Kind of like your idea with the burning mechanism and the gambling example. Like every time that specific data type was used in a different format, like that guy who made it is going to get a piece of it.
Yep, exactly. And so what we're, you know, fostering is the growth of this developer community by saying, hey, not only will, you know, you be able to come into our ecosystem and build some really cool stuff with data types, and you could maybe pioneer an entire new use case, and we'll help you go through this community-led audit so that it goes into this open source library. But on top of that, every time someone creates an NFT using the work that you've done in with the creation of the data types that you've done, you will earn a royalty for that every single time. So there's that full incentive by everyone to ensure that this is just a healthy, living, breathing, you know, safe, expanding ecosystem here. And which feeds back into why we made the architectural design changes that we made with NFGP, because we needed to ensure that we had the infrastructure to support a growing and seemingly unending list of NFT data type ideas, which is why it's so important that we had that, and it makes us a lot faster, so and easier for businesses to integrate with us with their existing stack or preferred language that they have. So, in a nutshell, this is one of the big developments that we have here, and you'll be seeing a lot of this more towards the end of the year, just as like a timeline for people to think of. But we have a number of more announcements to make towards the end of the week here, or for the next 6 days rather. So super exciting. Again, if anyone has any questions or anything, feel free to ask and we can answer those. But you know, this is something we're very excited about, and we know is going to lead to, like I said, a whole new ecosystem of NFTs on Constellation. Tony, we got my man Tony here.
Oh, Tony. Yep. Yeah, anybody else that wants to come up and ask a question, just request. What up, Tony?
Hey, everyone. Awesome. Awesome space. This is super exciting. My question is, do we have like a set standard or kind of framework or methodology in terms of the audit of those submissions?
So I think first what's important to mention is that there will be a developer-friendly SDK too for people to work with. So on that one side, like there will be that resource available, but we're currently building the governance model and system out for approving the individuals to go through that standardized auditing process.
Got it. So you guys are providing that, and then there'll be participation from the community within that. Okay, fantastic.
Exactly. And remember, and what we're expecting to happen, and this will make more sense in probably a couple of days, is that, you know, people will be incentivized to sign up and help do those audits. So there's auditors will want to sign up, and then it will go through a vote. And once the audit is done, there will be a vote to merge those data types into the library, community-led governance vote. And then again, the end of that is the developer has the opportunity to earn a royalty every time their work gets used to create a new NFT.
I guess follow up then. This is huge, by the way. the like royalty model, is that on a per usage basis, or is that on a per kind of like application rollout, like i.e. is it like transactional basis, or is it like rolling a whole application out?
rolling a whole application out. We have messed around with the idea of like bringing that transaction based into the marketplace, and we're not totally opposed to that. We just need to make sure, because obviously the marketplace takes a fee, then the creator has their own royalty, and we just don't want to squeeze people down too hard. But you know, we try to keep everyone in mind in that way. But it, at this moment, I can confidently say that it's out. It's based on the per, I guess you could say, application per creation basis, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Exactly. That makes sense. Thank you.
If you remember, the construction methodology is to create a recipe which is tradable. So that may give you a hint as to, you know, you're basically, if you have an NFT use case and you have, you can create a recipe to describe it, then you can sell the recipe as many times as you want. I also wanted to mention one side effect of the audit. You know, if there are Web2 integrations, they have to go through the same audit process. So if there are dubious practices within their data type that the community don't approve of, then they're not allowed in to play.
They have to play. I gotta say, this is brilliant. This like pick and shovel kind of approach to open sourcing the rollout of the standards and what type of NFTs. This is groundbreaking in my opinion. This is super exciting. Ideas are flowing in my head like as we speak. So
yeah. Well, and you know what's cool? Like,
this is awesome.
One of the things that we plan on. You know, oh, thanks. I really appreciate it. And always want to say, you know, thank you for all your support and contribution to the community as well. And being part of our community, and just want to say that too. But in addition to that, you know, it's like, we can do some really fun things to open this up to spark creativity. Like, hey, like, you know, let's do a, you know, for lack of a better word, like a NFT use case competition. And have people create different unique data types that can be used for really unique NFT, you know, different NFT applications. And we, you know, that's just one kind of thing that we can do in order to continue fostering the growth and development of this new community. So we have a lot of different things that we're messing around with and planning for, like, even the later end of the year. But we really think that it's definitely like a snowball effect, right? You know, people are going to, someone's going to release an NFT application. And they're going to go, how'd you do that? And they go, oh, I did it in the void. And they're going to go, oh, okay. And next thing you know, it's, you're going to see, you know, I think even the concept of, as Tim mentioned earlier, is like the idea of things like recipes and different NFT combinations doing different things and influencing each other can fit in really well with things like gaming. And there's just so much flexibility and functionality. That, and again, is why we said, okay, if we're really going to make this an open platform and try to, you know, create this new market of NFT innovation using data types, you know, with the new standard, like, then let's really, really create the environment for that to flourish successfully, which is where we put our heads down and came up with, you know, everything that we spoke about today.
I just wanted to mention a couple of data types. Andy has pointed me in one direction. One, actually, I just wanted to just explain what we can do with this. We essentially created a fungible token inside this engine yesterday in the model, which was really funny. It's a data type called a heavy NFT, which has an intrinsic value, which is fun. But the second one is one that we've been talking about recently. If you remember, we were talking about entanglement, which is the relationship between NFTs and describing the events and possibly the data flow between them. One data type that we've been looking at is a cross-chain entanglement. So don't everybody get excited just yet, but we're certainly looking at that as possible for future enhancement data type.
Ring the alarm. Sound the bell.
Yeah, and I believe it was Tim, right, that coined the term apps, not apes. And, you know, that's just genius right there, because that's really what it's all about.
Yeah. Tim really comes out with a lot of sneaky bangers like that every now and then. So got to give him credit for that. what was I going to say? Oh, apps, not apes. And you know what, too? And I also want to say, too, and I don't want to exclude people, is that, you know, the void, you know, if you kind of take it all the way back to the origin is like, why is it the void? The void is an open space of infinite possibility. And so while, yes, our product services standards and architecture and all these things are best suited for these NFT applications, you know, we're not excluding the existing Web3 community. If someone wants to sell art or someone wants to sell collectibles or anything like that, we're not excluding those individuals. And that's important for us because, you know, we are in an open ecosystem in that sense. So I want to make that really clear too, but what we do really want to place a heavy emphasis on is the ability to do some really cool, unique, fun things with NFTs using data types and the standard here. And, you know, it's kind of like, I guess you could say like a two-sided marketplace in that sense, but it's really going to be a culmination of whatever anyone wants to build, to create with whatever NFT idea they have utilizing our services. So we're definitely open in that sense. And I want to make that very clear as well, because it's important that, you know, like I said earlier, we can support the needs of a very large and growing ecosystem here inside of Constellation. So just wanted to share that as well. With that being said, I think maybe we can wrap it up here. We're coming around the hour. If anyone has any final questions or thoughts, Tim, if you want to share, I see you unmuted. If you have anything you'd like to say before we start to wrap it up here.
I just saw Wyatt was back in, so I wanted to say, hi, Wyatt. How's it going?
Yeah, Wyatt is the homie. I also can't thank Wyatt enough for literally all the help and support and just even the fact that we're here. All credit due to Wyatt for laying this unreal groundwork that is now HTTP. So
me, I'm looks like I have that ridiculous delay that's in all those calls that we have.
I didn't want to say it.
I am so sorry. I'm gonna tweet. I just want to say something really nice, but I'm gonna tweet it out later. Thank you all for being here. And you dropped some real bombs that I think are going to show up in the future, some real Easter eggs.
Awesome. Well, I can't, like I said, you know why, I cannot thank you enough. We all can't thank you enough for all the work here and personally for all the help on every single aspect of what it's like to build a crypto business, which if you're all thinking about it, let me tell you, is a fun thing to do. And there's many different things to know and pay attention to. So it's definitely helpful having, you know, people in your corner that have done it before and built successful products. So can't thank Wyatt enough for all those things and helping us. So just definitely want to share that. We do have a question from Miguel.
Wyatt's winning a Nobel Prize.
Yes. Miguel, if you had a question, feel free to ask it.
Hey guys, I appreciate y'all being here. I absolutely cannot wait for this technology to roll out. It's going to be insane. But I did have a question on like NFT storefronts on the Void. So my thought process is like before I learned or before I read the Enter the Void white paper, I was thinking in terms of point of sale systems for businesses, but now that I have like a Void storefront like depiction, I'm seeing that NFTs will almost leapfrog point of sale systems and will kind of render them potentially obsolete. And I was just wondering what your thoughts might be on that for businesses that are creating their storefront through e-commerce online.
Oh, that's a really interesting point there on the point of sale take. You know, as far as like the storefront, just to draw a comparison, it's very much like the Amazon model where when you go, you know, everyone sells their own products on their own website and stuff like that, but everyone keeps a connection to the marketplace because that's where users and liquidity and discoverability is. And so we're adopting a very similar model where you will see like people selling, you know, maybe NFTs on their own site, but they also have a storefront inside the Void because that's where they know they're going to get discovered. It's like marketing. We have different, what are they called? Social engagement features that we haven't really announced yet that are inside the marketplace that actually allow businesses to market themselves. So it's a little different from like paid promotion, which is what most marketplaces do, where it's like, hey, give us $100,000 and we'll give you a banner spot on the homepage for a week. Like, we actually have certain things in place which allow users, which allow sellers in the marketplace to leverage marketplace traffic to discover, to lead to them being discovered easier. So we do have those things which are built in the marketplace, but I digress, kind of going back to, you know, like this whole, like maybe circumventing point of sale things. I guess it could be possible, you know, if they wanted to, it's really up to them, to use Wyatt's analogy actually, which is like make your own sandwich, to, you know, utilize our services in whichever way fits best for your business use case. And the best part is, you know, having all this, you know, flexibility and functionality, we don't really know at this point how everyone is going to innovate our own stuff, innovate with our stuff. So it's going to be really excited to see.
That's awesome to hear. I could definitely see that happening. Just as liquidity shifts from a layer zero lens. I mean, liquidity is held at the layer zero and then can be atomically swapped into any chain for that particular asset. And I mean, NFTs seem like, I don't know a whole lot on the business side, but just thinking about what metadata could do for NFTs, it seems like that will provide a lot more insight than point of sale systems. So I feel like there's more incentive for businesses to use NFTs rather than a point of sale system. And it's better for consumers because, I mean, they get to leverage not only that data, but they also get to, I don't know, build their digital identity a little bit better to where it more reflects who they are as a person. But
yeah. Yeah, what I think is really cool, and I think you made a great point, is around like the metadata, is like for businesses and brands, like they essentially now have, and listen, you can take this however you want. Some people may like this, some people may think it's kind of scary or whatever, but it's like now you have an auditable trail of customer behavior tied to an asset that fluctuates in price up or down depending on how much value you're providing to your customer. So I guess it's a two-way street in that sense. But the fact is that, you know, having, you know, providing some form of product or service on chain definitely has its major technical advantages. And, you know, over the last year, there has been a huge explosion of, you know, consumer businesses that have entered the NFT space. But really, like when you look at what they've done, they're really just marketing splashes. And there's so much more that they could do and so much more value to unlock and to provide to their customers through something kind of like what we've spoken about today, as opposed to, hey, we know NFTs are hot. We know Web3 is going to be part of the future. We don't want to miss out on that. It's like they FOMO jump in and just do a marketing, like a Web3 marketing campaign, which is fine, which is okay. It creates more users in the space. It gets people more interested in Web3 and NFTs. But we're talking about taking that underlying technology and providing more use case functionality to that, as opposed to just like FOMOing in and doing a marketing campaign, which is fine too, because they obviously work and, you know, lead to sales and revenue and stuff like that, but and brand awareness. But even so, there's so much more that can be done. And that's where we're fitting in, really, is this, you know, more flexible, functional, you know, people love to call it utility application for NFTs, utilizing data types in our services inside the ecosystem. So, you know, the future I want to say is bright and not super well defined, because we don't know what the NFT space is going to look like with the advent of, you know, different options like the one we're providing. We just don't know what it's going to look like. And we're here to create that new market.
That's awesome to hear. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being a part of our community. I know I've seen your name around. So I want to say thanks for, you know, popping in and asking questions, and super excited.
Anytime. I love hopping on these things, just learning, just becoming a massive sponge of information. So much alpha in these Twitter spaces. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all righty, y'all, let's let's wrap it up. I'll do a quick little summary here. So we have defined and launched some changes here inside the Void with the non-fungible gadget protocol, a layer two logic solution that allows any business or creator to create a custom NFT application that is stack and language agnostic. This is leading to the entire, a new open source data type library that is extendable by the community. And we will be creating the environment to incentivize developers and auditors for their contributions to adding new data types to the library, which could create an unending amount of new NFT use cases. So in essence, that is today's update. And we're super excited to share these things and continue the next several days of different updates that we're having. So happy to kind of fill you in, check in with you guys, and we will be sharing more. Sound good? And we can sign off, everyone.
Thank you very much. I'm on Discord if you want to continue the engineering conversation.
That is correct. A small little closing final thought here. We do have an engineering channel inside the Discord now. And let's have some fun. Think of new NFT use cases or different data types that could extend into different use cases. It's very possible we might end up adding that into the data type library, which could be an entire new different type of NFT application. So have some fun in there, get creative, share your ideas, and it's very possible that it will get added to this open source library. So super excited to share that with y'all, and we look forward to talking more. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was a chat about dynamic NFT applications using data types on the Constellation Network, DAG, hosted by Enter the Void. Recorded on Friday, August 12th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep your hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two, help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Razor beam focus, Starscream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all a wreck with a dead man swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fatal man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next bill. No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol, but it didn't matter, we was all hyped up. When the pedal lit the metal, he just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop, right off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth, slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Then envision in the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Terra Spaces.